TR 101.9, you're listening to the Student Special Hour, and today on the show we have Vida. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Vida. I'm currently a third year at UBC studying Global Resource Systems, and I'm here to hang out with UC for the next 15 minutes or so to talk about a student club that I'm involved in.
So what is the name of the club?
So the name of our club is The Passion Project, and I actually got involved in my first year through my cousin who started the club.
Oh.
Yeah.
So your cousin was the founder of the club?
She was one of the co-founders, yeah.
Okay, so do you mind telling the listeners a little bit about what the club is about?
Definitely. So The Passion Project believes that when people are doing what they're passionate about, it's a platform for positive social change. So what we want to do for students is first inspire them to pursue what they're passionate about or find things that make them feel like they've come alive, that they're doing things that they're really deeply passionate about. And then second is that we want to help them use those passions to give back to their communities. Yeah, so in the past, we've run events like fundraisers, open mic nights. We've worked with artists and photographers and slam poets and different organizations around UBC to showcase those passions. And we've also held conferences. 2 years ago, we held a food conference about different ethical and sustainable issues around food. And this year, we held a kind of mini conference around the idea of university and like what students get out of university. So it's really a super broad topic, but it's like that the uniting topic within it is kind of passion and that idea of passion in students.
Yeah, that sounds like a very forward thinking and very, I've never heard of any club that's like that. So it's kind of, from my understanding and from your description, it's kind of like a club, but it's kind of like, not a club. It's like a club that works with other clubs.
Yeah, it's, I guess you can kind of think of it as like a social movement almost.
Yeah.
Because in a sense, like, yes, we have club members and yes, we run events and socials, but it's so broad and whoever is running it or whoever the exec is can really take that idea and go wherever they want with it, depending on what they're passionate about and what they want to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds so interesting. Are you an exec of the club? What is your role in the club right now?
Yeah, I'm currently president of the UBC chapter. I guess you call it president. I don't really think of it as a huge role because I work with four or five other exec members and we're kind of just like a support team for each other. Like we meet up once a week and we chat over coffee and we tell each other about our lives and we'll run these events, but it just kind of feels like very casual and very like we're supporting each other in our studies, but also in pursuing what we're passionate about and like working to keep each other accountable towards working towards our longer term goals. So, yeah.
And are students part of the kind of like the, I feel like it's like a friendship circle or not really a friendship circle, but like a, like, are students involved in these exec meetings, or is it just the execs that are coming on and...
Right now, it's just the execs, but we do have a blog and a website where we share kind of, like, things that we believe in, and we've had... Right now, we have our co-founders who are both graduated, but they still blog, so they still... I know that Torini, who's one of the co-founders... she's interviewing passionistas or passionistos, people who are passionate about things, and just putting their stories out on the blog and sharing that. And I think they also had some sort of like book list going on like passionate ideas. So there's other things going on outside of UBC. But yeah, I guess our UBC chapter is more like right now very small scale in supporting each other as a group and trying to find ways to reach out to the student body. But that's definitely where we struggle, I think.
Yeah. with an initiation like that, I feel like you really need to get personal with someone and really need to get to know someone in order for them to, like, showcase their passion. Or some people are maybe introverts and it's hard for them to maybe, like, tell everyone what they're passionate about. Or some people are scared about, like, doing what they're passionate about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they want to get some inspiration from the blog and read about other passionistas and, like, the book that you mentioned, how can they find or how can they search up the blog on the,
yeah,
on the web?
So the name of our website is thepassionproj.org. So project, but like proj.org. And that's our blog. That's more information about how the project started, the co-founders, and just, like, it very succinctly summarizes what we believe in and what we stand for. It shows pictures of our past projects, and yeah, so that's a good place to go to start off with. We also have a Facebook page, and mm-hmm. if you just search on Facebook or on Google The Passion Project, it will come up. And yeah, I guess we do have a fairly strong social media presence. Eunice, who's another one of the co-founders, did a TED Talk a few years ago back at UBC. So if you search that online, you'll also be able to find her insights. And she's a very good speaker. And she speaks about, the idea of passion for our generation and how that's motivated a lot of people, but also hindered a lot of people in other ways. I think so many people have this idea that either they're pressured to do something that other people say is right for them, or they're struggling to find something that they really want to do with their life, and they think mm-hmm. that a career needs to encompass something that they love to do. And a lot of times, like, people try and navigate that path, and it's hard to find fulfillment and in your life, in, like, career-wise, but also, like, extracurriculars. And I think that's something people are trying to figure out at university, is, like, what they really like to do and what really interests them. And it can a lot of the times change for people. Like, they come in with one idea and they find these communities or find interesting people, and they just are open to all these new ideas, and it can be overwhelming as to, like, what they need to do next or what they think they should do next.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel like it's always a fine line between doing what's right for you or what other people tells you is right and mm-hmm. what you really like. And sometimes the job that you, most of the times, I feel like a lot of people end up with jobs that, you know, they just do so they can make a living, and it's not something that they really enjoy doing.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, there's something to be said about, like, having financial stability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a very personal decision, because you can have that job, but you can also have ways of, like, feeling fulfilled in your life outside of work. Like, work isn't everything. But I think so many people in our generation now are searching for jobs that are more than just a job.
Yeah.
They want their life to be their work. And mm-hmm. So it's different for different people.
Yeah, I feel like, at least from my perspective, it's always a fine line between finding the job that's right and finding what you're passionate about. And actually, like, a few days ago, I met this person. He was backpacking, and he just said, I don't need that much money in order to feel happy. And he just leads a very different life from what I think, or how I envision my job, or how I envisioned how I would live my life as. It's just very different. He says, I don't need a lot of job. I just work when I need to, and for the rest of the time, I just enjoy myself with the money I made. It's very different for everyone, and I think definitely getting involved in an organization that helps you, I wouldn't say help you discover your passion, but have like a dedicated team, or you can make friends who will definitely support your passion mm-hmm. and maybe help you in the discovering of what you really like, is really, really amazing. And it sounds like something that everyone who's confused, or everyone who has already, like, developed a passion should get involved in. So how can students get involved in the Passion Project apart from being maybe a member or if they want to become more a member. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah. So you can definitely stay in touch with us on our online accounts, on our social media, and we will post about upcoming events. This year, I think we struggled with kind of finding that way to reach out to students, and I know that some of our goals for next year are to kind of just have open, like, open meetings where anyone can come, or socials, maybe over food or like potlucks, to get to know more students in the community. But yeah, definitely the best way to kind of hear back from us and find out what we're doing is online. And yeah, definitely reach out to us if you're interested in collaborating, or you just have a comment or suggestion for us. We'd be happy to talk more and to meet up with you and to hear your story. We really like sharing stories of people and just like featuring people on our blog and hearing what they have to say. And we actually did, have you heard of Portraits of UBC?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
So we did a project in collaboration with them, I think about a month ago now, and we went around, so we took photos with them, but instead of asking them, usually they just say, like, what year are you in, or, like, what are you studying, and they ask that to the students. We asked them what they were passionate about, and why, and how that made them feel, and any advice they had for people related to passions. And so if you check out the Portraits of UBC Facebook page, there's some really neat photos and stories of people that we interviewed around campus as well.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I know it's towards the end of the term, but are there any upcoming events that the Passion Project has put on? I know that there is a blog post online called Passion Shop 101. Is that something that is happening at the end of the term?
That's actually something that's happening outside of the UBC chapter. I believe that's either Eunice or Tarini updating the online presence. But in terms of what we're doing at UBC, for the end of this term, we are hopefully taking more photos with Portraits of UBC. So you can look out for those. And we're also hoping to host a documentary night in the next few weeks at the Global Lounge. So we'll also be posting more information about that.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So I guess before you have to run off, maybe give a little one-minute pitch about what the Passion Project is and how they can find you and how they can get involved.
Definitely. The Passion Project, we believe that that there's so much potential when people are doing what they love to help other people. We want to help students invest in and find their passions and give back to their communities in ways that make them feel fulfilled and happy. And we believe that's a very good platform for positive social change. So we want to bring that to UBC and hopefully reach out to the greater communities from there. We have an online presence on our website at thepassionproj.org. You can also look up our Facebook page by looking up The Passion Project. And yeah, we have a few more events coming up. We're working with Portraits of UBC, and we have a documentary night in the next 2 weeks at UBC. So if you're at all interested in our ideas, you have suggestions for us or comments, or you just want to connect, please do not hesitate to send us an email, message us on Facebook. We'd love to meet you and talk further.
Yeah.
So thanks for having me.
Yeah. And that was Vita from The Passion Project. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Next, I believe we have Kristen from the Food Bank. So stay tuned. This is the student special.
My name is David Scott. I play wide receiver for the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the food bank, or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
And we're back. You're listening to CITR 101.9, and this is a student special hour. And in the studio today, we have Kristen from the AMS Food Bank.
Hi.
Hi. So, Kristen, I just played a public service announcement about the AMS Food Bank, but could you tell the listeners a little bit more about what the AMS Food Bank is?
Certainly, yeah. So the AMS Food Bank is a service supported through the AMS, and it's run by volunteers. I'm actually the coordinator, so I'm employed by the AMS, but we are a small team that offer this resource for students who may be facing financial restraints or other things that impact their ability to have adequate food services. So we have no screening process or anything. It's just people can drop in or make appointments to come get food from the food bank, and we're actually located here in the sub as well.
Oh, interesting. So it's a service for students, any students, to come if they're feeling hungry or if they need some food to pick up some food.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely is. Right now we all have non-perishable foods, and that's how it's been since 2005 when we started. But we actually are expanding and doing a lot more fresh stuff when we move with the opening of the new sub.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. So the food bank, who donates to the food bank?
Our donors are really broad. There's a lot of people who support us on campus, so different groups who are fundraising for a cause and want to do a food drive for us. A lot of residences donate, some faculty groups, undergraduate societies, the Land and Food Systems Undergraduate Society, we did a big food drive with last semester. And also the Save on Foods on campus is a really big support to us with various things that generally aren't necessarily outdated, but they just don't stock anymore. So great resource for us because they can't sell it, but it's wonderful for us to share with students.
Mm-hmm. And is there a, how would you say the percentage of student usage of the food bank? Is there a large amount of people using the food bank, or do you think maybe some students are shy about, you know, using the food bank and seeking help?
I think it depends. We actually have a pretty broad range of students. So there are some people who are international students in their first year, and then there's some people who are completing like their PhD who are from Vancouver. I think we're probably underused overall. I've spoken to other coordinators from other food banks across Canada and actually another coordinator in Australia, but anyways, I think usage really varies depending. I think a lot of students actually don't know about our food bank because it's in an awkward space in the sub right now, just with renovations, and because it's hard for us to advertise by word of mouth. I think there's some students who maybe are grateful for the service but don't want to share it with other people so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. So where exactly are you located in the sub? I've actually never been or visited the office before.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky. I noticed the announcement said that we were located near the Wellness Center, but we actually moved. So we are right now between Merit Travel and then on the fringe, the haircutting place. There's a hallway there, and we're located at the end of that hallway. So it's a small room that's aiming to be discreet, but there's a poster on the doorway for people to see. The room number is 42U.
42U. So it's in the basement.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. In the basement of the sub.
Yeah. And with students who want to maybe pick up a few food items, are there any restrictions in the number or the type of food that they're picking up?
No. So the way that our system works is, well, there's 6 visits a semester. So that's really the only sort of restriction that we have. And each time someone visits, it will be 1 bag for individuals and then 2 bags for families because they're supporting dependents. And of everything that we have in our office, we don't make the bags for people. We offer everything on shelves, and then they can put in whatever they would like. And we feel this is a really good way to decrease food waste and increase support and independence for our clients, because they are able to pick the things that they're going to eat and enjoy and have it feel like they're able to support themselves more than just receive a handout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and are there any, apart from giving away supporting people who are in need of some food, are there any events that the food bank hosts throughout the year to promote themselves maybe?
Yeah, so we're actually doing a fundraiser right now with UBC Parking. So it's today, tomorrow, and Thursday. And the way that it works is people can pay for their parking fines. And by paying for their parking fines, all that money actually goes toward the food bank. And it's also half off. So if somebody owes $50 to the to UBC Parking, they have parking tickets, they can pay just $25 of that. The other half is waived, and then all $25 goes to the food bank. So it's a really good way for people to pay their parking fines and support the food bank at the same time and get a really good deal on their fines.
Yeah, so listeners out there, I know you have some parking tickets, and I know you've been putting them off. I definitely know friends who have, stacks of them, two or three, and now it's time to pay them off. You get half off, and you get to donate to a really worthy cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the same way as paying through normal parking fines. It's just at the parking and access services desk at the bookstore, and people can pay, cash, debit, credit, however they would normally pay for their parking fines.
Mm-hmm. And if, individual students want to donate to the food bank on campus, will they be able to just drop the food off, or...?
Yeah, definitely. Our office hours vary because we're volunteer-run, so it depends when people have time between classes, but they can drop in any time during our office hours, and if those times aren't convenient, they can email us, and we're totally happy to make an appointment to receive donations or even pick it up if it's more convenient to have stuff picked up.
Mm-hmm. And what are the office hours of the food bank?
They vary day to day. They're generally between 8 and 4, but I don't have them memorized just because they're complicated, but they're on our website, mm-hmm. Which is through the AMS website, the AMS services section, and they are also on the door of our office. So if people want to drop in and kind of check that out, we do have a sign outside of our door saying what the hours are too. But we are open Monday to Friday throughout the day. There are just some gaps when we don't have volunteer staff at that time.
Mm-hmm. And all the volunteer staff are fellow students?
Yes. So we currently have 9 executives in addition to myself, and they perform roles varying from visiting with clients to discuss what their needs are for things like our Christmas hampers and mm-hmm. just doing regular client appointments. Everyone will have office hours so they can be more familiar with who it is that we're serving. To recruiting volunteers, to doing big outreach events. We just did one with the Bike Co-op last month where every Wednesday the Bike Co-op was offering, if people brought in a non-perishable, they could get an hour of free bike kitchen time on Wednesdays. There's a wide range, picking up donations that we have offered. So the volunteers are really great, and that's how we are supported. And it's a really good way also for us to form connections with our student community, because everyone is also a student that works with our team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds amazing. For students who want to be involved, I guess, in this initiative, how can they become a volunteer, or how can they become involved?
Yeah, we also have a special events volunteer crew, and that's entirely non-committal, and so people can just respond to our emails when we send out saying we need extra help. So that's the easiest way, is just to email us. Our email is foodbank@ams.ubc.ca, and we're happy to share information about different events and things that we need help with. The executive team is recruited over the summer, and then they follow through with us over the whole year because it's a more specific volunteer commitment. But everyone is super important in helping, so if anyone wants more information, just email us and we can totally sign you up or give you more information about different opportunities available with us.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a really amazing opportunity or amazing initiative to get involved with, especially because you're not only helping your peers, but I feel like if you're doing a job like that, you feel a sense of fulfillment as well.
Mm-hmm. And the team, we all work really well together. And I mean, I'm a bit biased as the coordinator, but mm-hmm. I was a volunteer for the past 2 years. And there are volunteers who are returning this year who are really excited about getting to know the team and do different events together. So there's giving back to the community and engaging and contributing and helping the AMS Food Bank grow. And then you also get to make friends and build relationships with other students who are also helping with the food bank.
Mm-hmm. I know it's towards the end of the term and the school year is coming to an end, but are there any events that the food bank is hosting? I know that during exam season, students might be stressed out or might be having some problems with getting food. Are there any special events that you're hosting, or do you still host office hours during the exam times?
We don't have any more events planned. We might do some outreach. We just did a Nutrition Month giveaway last week where we handed out a bunch of bananas around the sub for free just because it was Nutrition Month. We thought that'd be fun. But we have office hours every week throughout the year, even through summer, Christmas break, spring break, everything. So
oh wow,
we always want to be supportive. And when our hours are more limited, people are more than welcome to email us if they want to make an appointment for time or for privacy reasons. That's why we're here. We're here to support students. So we don't necessarily have any events before the end of the year, but we are always welcome to provide, aren't always welcome. People are always welcome to come to us, and we are happy to provide our normal services to them.
Mm-hmm. I was really shocked. I didn't know that this was a program that ran for the full year. I thought it was only, you know, between term one and term two, but it seems like you have a really dedicated team of volunteers who are willing to give up their free time and to support the community.
Yeah, the volunteer time is actually the executive team traditionally has just been during the term one and term two, but the coordinator position still runs throughout the summer. So as the coordinator last summer, I was the only one to hold office hours, and so they were limited, but I was still happy to work around people's schedules because I got to pick when my office hours are, and the job is on a contract. So if ever people feel that it's imposing at all, it definitely isn't, and that's why I'm here, and that's why the volunteers are here, is because we want to be supportive to students. So yeah, definitely not an issue where anyone that uses a service ever needs to feel like they're imposing or that they need to give back, because that's why we want to give our time and share our time, is to be supportive of students.
Mm-hmm. And are there any stories that you might have or any friendships that you've formed throughout the club, anything that you would like to share with people who are listening?
Sure, yeah. I'm currently in a course right now called FNH 473, and it's about nutrition education in the community. And we were able, for this course, to pick a project, an issue or an initiative in Vancouver and area that we were interested in. And one of my friends in my group suggested that we pick the food bank because I could act as our community contact. So, of course, I went for it because I thought, what better way to investigate more of our food system and to make an outreach opportunity of a video documentary. So throughout this process, I was able to interview a few of our volunteers and interview clients, and it was a really humbling and rewarding experience to get to speak to everyone about how the food bank has impacted them and to share their experiences. As a coordinator and as our volunteers, like, we speak to clients on a regular basis, but it was more personal to do the interviews for the documentary to really discuss the impact on a personal level for the food bank with clients. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really encouraging to see that everyone that I spoke with felt that it has been a really good support system to us and that they enjoy our service and that they feel comfortable and supported by the service as clients, and happy to encourage other students to use the service too, no matter what situation they're in. We don't have screening criteria. We just want to make people feel supported and comfortable, like, taking food from us, because that's why we're here. And speaking to the volunteers as well, everyone spoke about a different opportunity or event that they participated in this year, whether that was speaking with clients and our team members at meetings and during office hours or doing events, everyone felt like it was a really beneficial experience. So for me, this whole process of making this video, which isn't finished yet, but has been really wonderful, just feeling so grateful for having the experience that I've had to be able to engage with volunteers and with clients and with the rest of the campus community to share how this service works and how much that we want to support, and not even that what our goals are, but how these goals impact volunteers, that volunteers really enjoy the experience, want to stay with us all year, want to get more involved, create their own projects and events, and that clients can feel supported to keep coming back to us as well.
Mm-hmm. That just sounds really amazing. I know it sounds kind of sad. I'm getting kind of emotional, but, you know, we don't really know who needs help around us, you know. UBC, the food is really expensive when you are eating on campus. And I know, like, a lot of international students or a lot of students who are, struggling financially, and there's not a lot of support provided for them. But I feel like the food bank is really something that they can rely on, and it sounds like something that everyone on the team has worked collaboratively and really hard to make it really amazing. And I'm just thankful for all the hard work that you guys have put in, and hopefully more people will be able to reach out to the food bank for help.
Thank you. Yeah, that's our goal, is to support students and anyone who needs it. And if anyone feels like they don't necessarily need to use the service or benefit from it in that way, then we can always use support in the form of donations. If people want to do fundraisers with us, we are so happy to make that work together, figure out ways of doing outreach, or if they want to volunteer for us and become part of our team in any capacity. We just want to be inclusive and welcoming and supportive to everybody who needs support or would like to provide additional support.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And before you go, would you just like to maybe give a short 1-minute cap of what the food bank does and how it supports students and where we can find you on social media and also in the sub?
Definitely, yeah. So the food bank is a support service for students, food relief service, and we're located in the lower level of the sub between Merit Travel and On the Fringe. We want to support any student who is in need of food support, and we are happy to have volunteers or donors if people would like to support us. You can find us through the AMS, all social media, so AMS, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We have posts on there from time to time because we're a branch of the AMS. And our website is also located on the AMS website with the other AMS services like Speakeasy and Safe Walk Tutoring. And if anyone has any individual questions, if you email foodbank@ams.ubc.ca, that email goes directly to the coordinator. And as the coordinator, I'm happy to answer any questions or anything that anyone has that would like additional information about us. We're here to support the UBC community.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show. That was AMS Food Bank. Next up, we have some friends from the Environment Center. So stay tuned. This is CITR 101.1, and this is the Student Special Hour.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
It's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because, of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a clothing.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Do you have an approaching test or exam and need help studying? Well, it's time to prepare yourself. The Study Van, www.studyvan.com, is a 100% free website dedicated to helping you achieve excellence. MCAT, History, Chemistry, French, Math, Biology, the Study Van covers it all. Tools are provided so you can create your own study group and do what you need to do. Ace your exam. The Study Van will help you help yourself. Give it a shot, you have nothing to lose, as once again it is a 100% free studying resource. So remember, when you need to study, go to the Study Van, www.studyban.com.
The Morning After Show started last century with Jeremy Baker and Paul Gullett on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. Oswaldo Perez Cabrera joined in 2001. Van Music has teamed up with Super Cheeto Productions and Ascenda School of Management to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the Morning After Show at the Rickshaw Theater this March 24th with superstars Jarabe de Palo and very special guests Los Furios and Caracas. Featuring one of Spain and Latin America's biggest bands, Jarabe de Palo, playing their first show in Canada. This night will also feature BC Ska from Los Furios and the Latin punk of East Van band Caracas. The Morning After Show 15th Anniversary Party with Jarabe de Palo, this Tuesday, March 24th at the Rickshaw Theater. Tickets are $25 and are available at High Life, Neptune, Red Cat, and Zulu.
And we're back. You're listening to CITR 101.9, and this is the Student Special Hour. We've just had Kira from the food bank come on, but now in the studio I'm joined by friends from the Student Environment Center. Can you introduce yourselves?
Hi! So my name is Marina. I'm the current co-chair of the Student Environment Center.
My name is Maya. I'm the outreach coordinator at the Student Environment Center.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So what is the Student Environment Center? Can you give the listeners a little brief description, a little overview of what you do?
So we're a bit different from student clubs on campus. We're actually an AMS-mandated resource group. So we provide funding and any resources to students and the greater UBC community if they have any problems or issues trying to get their ideas about sustainability out into the greater UBC community.
Anything to add?
I think Marina pretty much gave a succinct definition of what the Student Environment Center was. I was distracted by your headphones slightly. We've been funding some really great things. I think something we've been focusing on this year is getting existing events at UBC that aren't connected with sustainability to become more sustainable in their practices. So we've been funding like the Heart and Stroke Foundation, the Art History Student Association, so that when they have events, we give them the extra funds so that they will buy materials that are compostable or like buy things that are reusable, buy food that is local and organic where possible, you know.
We're really just trying to increase our collab with other groups on campus. So previous years, we've maybe funded like one or two funding proposals, mm-hmm. but this year we funded over 19. So we really think that that is like a great tool that we have that can get people involved with sustainability on campus.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I read an article a few weeks ago saying that UBC is actually one of the most sustainable schools within Canada, just because, like, building-wise, they're, like, LEED certificate. They have a lot of LEED-certified buildings, and, I think it's a really good thing that you're doing, and before you came on and said, oh, we support student groups who look for, like, who look to buy sustainable equipment or sustainable things for their events, I've never really even heard about that before.
Yeah, and it's weird because in the 60s when we were basically like created, we were so big. We had over like 300 members. We were one of the biggest clubs on campus, and that's why the AMS mandated us as a resource group, because they saw there was such an opportunity for sustainable development and growth on campus, but especially with students as well, getting students involved in that, because they see that it's to become a sustainable university, you can't just have, like, the top-down mm-hmm. effect, you know? It has to come from the students as well. And we were one of the groups who pushed for the U-Pass to be instigated on campus. So imagine, without SEC, we wouldn't have a U-Pass, which would be so different, and we would have more parking lots on campus, and it would be mm-hmm. completely different, you know?
Yeah, I didn't... That's an interesting fact. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess... listeners out there, you all owe your youth passes to the student environment center. Yeah, that sounds amazing. I'm more interested in the sustainability aspect of you supporting the events with student events with funding, because I know that not a lot of students student initiatives know about that. This funding, and do you mind giving a little more detail about what it is and how clubs can maybe apply for this funding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you can apply for funds on our website. We generally fund, like, up to $1,000 is kind of the limit. But our criteria is basically, does your event benefit the UBC community, and does it in terms of sustainability? Like, how will our funding decrease your environmental impact, or how will your project, spread awareness or make an impact at UBC? But yeah, we're quite open to diverse proposals, and I think, as we were saying before, we do want to kind of infiltrate our message of sustainable practices to groups that aren't directly related to sustainability, and. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, one of the things that we're working on now is we want there to be a sustainability representative for every AMS club, because specifically to do with waste production, that's something tangible that we can kind of do within the institution at UBC events. So
it's one of our main dreams for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're in a club that's completely unrelated, like a musical theater group or a dancing club, but you put on events regularly, you provide food or anything really that, you know, has waste or gathers people in any kind of event, we want to be a guide and also able to help make your event more sustainable. So one of our biggest things that we did this year was we actually reformulated our resource guide, which is a tool that anyone can use to make events more sustainable on campus. So you can get food from certain places on campus that are more sustainable, prevent waste by reusing cutlery or plastic plates and anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of... I've definitely been to a lot of events that you described have a lot of food, and I noticed that... I haven't... Now that you mentioned it, I've noticed that they use a lot of, like, paper plates and forks and could be quite wasteful, but I do know that a lot of clubs, when they host events, they approach it as what is the most cost-saving effect,
right.
And they don't really think about the sustainability and the impact that it has. So maybe... I think with, like, them knowing about the subsidies that you provide or, like, the sponsorship that you would provide for their event, they would definitely be more open to putting more thought into
exactly.
waste diversion and how they would serve mm-hmm. the food.
If you have a $100 budget for cookies, let's say, cookies and plates, we can fully cover that budget for you. Add more if you wanted, and we can provide Sprouts brownies, cookies from Blue Chip that are vegan. You can borrow our plates. We have resources in our guide for compostable and biodegradable plates that you can use as well, and we'll fully cover the cost of that. Mm-hmm. So that gives you an extra $100 to supply elsewhere in your event.
It's too good to be true, really.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We're
I'm not
a
even
magic
believing.
Fairy godmother.
And of course, we also call out to students who have, like, innovative ideas to do with sustainability at UBC to know that there is support and there is funding for them, you know? Like, this is a time where we do need people to have ideas, you know?
Yeah, you even have your own project, right? A garden that you're doing on campus?
Yes, well, come to mention it. I work at the English Language Institute, so that's where a place where students come from abroad to learn English. and we are turning a kind of concrete space into a community garden with help from Student Environment Centre, who is funding the project. So we're going to be growing herbs and vegetables, and students are going to be learning English and learning about sustainability at the same time through the garden, and we're going to be sharing the produce as a community. So, I mean, I'm really happy that SEC is funding it, and I think this is a project which is very in line with Student Environment Centre, so...
Mm-hmm. And has the garden kicked off already, or is it still in the planning phases? What's the status on the project right now?
Well, we're still in the planning status, and we needed to prove to Plant Ops that we had funding, that we had financial support. So that's where the Student Environment Centre came in handy. But yeah, we're going to hopefully start digging in a couple of months. So if anyone is strolling down West Mall next to the Continuing Studies building in a few months, come say hi to us. We'll be planting a wonderfully sustainable garden.
Sounds amazing. So apart from the awesome support that you give to student groups, what are some events that the Sustainability Center hosts throughout the year?
So we try to do a lot of collaborative work, and each year it also depends on the members that we have. So last year we did a whole sexy week, a week full of events that we did. We did panel presentations where we had leaders in development on campus come, and from the UBC, like the greater community of Vancouver as well, come in and talk to us about that. We do movie screenings, but this year we did a lot more collaborative work. But even at the end of this year, we'll be doing a great collaboration with the VOC and the Bike Co-op. It'll be a Wildwood forest fundraiser. They're a really great forest that's the first of its kind in Canada. They're a sustainably managed forest, and they actually provide greater yields of timber than other forests in the same region. So it just goes to show that you can do the same thing, whatever your goals are, if they're economic or if they're personal successes that you wish to achieve. There are always ways of doing it with a less impact on the environment.
Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing. I feel like throughout the years, people are, I guess, putting more focus on being environmentally friendly because they realize what an impact it'll have on the earth. Before we came on the air, you mentioned about a project that's happening towards the end of the term. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about it?
Yeah, so the reason why we're doing this Wildwood Ecoforest fundraiser is because they've contacted us saying that there's actually a sale trying to be negotiated right now. TLC, the company that owns the property of Wildwood Ecoforest, is, the head of TLC, John Shields, is trying to sell the property, and the rest of the property that is in a certain category is actually being transferred to Nature Canada, which is a non-governmental organization of Canada that sustains land just for environmental purposes. And Wildwood, unfortunately, is not in that category of land currently, and John Shields is trying to negotiate sales of selling the property to pay off a debt. So it's quite a big issue, and they've contacted us trying to reunite the UBC community to get this project on the roll, trying to contact John Shields and let him know that it's not okay to sell a forest that's being sustainably managed, that's such a big role in Canada's sustainability, in the future of Canada's sustainability. So, Wildwood has asked everyone to like their Facebook page, which is Wildwood Ecoforest, and ask us to tweet about it, tell your local newspapers, talk about it on the radio, and do whatever we can to try to prevent the sale of Wildwood.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't quite catch on. So the sale of Wildwood from TLC, where would Wildwood be sold to, or who would Wildwood be sold to?
So we don't know who it's going to be sold to because they haven't actually like negotiated a sale yet, but we know that it's like up for sale. So basically, if it was to be sold, it could, whoever owns it could change the managing, change the way that it's being managed currently. They could just clear-cut it if they wanted it. They could even say, no, no one's allowed to work on this forest at all, and take away the whole economic aspect that is so deeply entrenched in that community right now. Mm-hmm. And so they could basically take away all the work that's been done to make Wildwood such a successful forest up till now, and selling the property puts that all in jeopardy. Whereas if it went to Nature Canada, which is what Wildwood is trying to achieve, getting the land transferred to Nature Canada means that it will be under their care, means that it will also be preserved forever under Nature Canada as a wildlife area, and preserving it for its sustainability purposes.
So can TLC sell the land to Nature Canada, or would it be just like a transfer to Nature Canada?
It would be transferred over among with different properties, but currently it's being negotiated for sale to settle a debt. So it's not really sustainable.
And when is this, it's an ongoing event. Do you know kind of like an end date of when TLC is going to like strike a deal with someone, or when it's actually going to be on the market, or has it already been on the market for a while?
From what I know, they've just announced that it's like up for grabs basically, and we don't know if anyone's going to bid on it. But what we want to try to do with this initiative is transfer the land to the different category so that it can be transferred off to Nature Canada instead of up for sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds amazing. It sounds like the work here that the Student Environment Center is doing is not only within the UBC community, but also on a larger scale within maybe the Canadian, like even Canada. Like, the influence that students can make is huge if we come together and, you know, support a cause.
Exactly. And I mean, no matter what you do, it has an impact, right? What you get to choose is what kind of impact you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
So each bag that you buy at Safeway makes a difference, you know, whether you're using paper or plastic. Every single thing that we have makes a difference, so you just have to be a bit more conscious about that. And it's global effects. It's not just Canada, and it's not just Vancouver. We can't say, like, just because you do something here, it doesn't mean that it won't affect someone somewhere else. Like, we still haven't even seen the full effects of, for example, the tsunami that happened in Japan. They're expecting some of the radiation and the garbage and the pollution caused from that to be hitting Vancouver shores within the next couple years. So something happens here, but it has global repercussions.
Mm-hmm. I know of this quote that I heard a while back ago, but I couldn't really understand it at the time. But I guess now that when I'm older and know a little bit about the effects, the quote is like, when a butterfly flaps its wings on this end of the world, there might be a typhoon on the other side.
Yeah,
you know, like
butterfly effect. Yeah, and I think that's why it's so good to be having these kind of conversations within the media, because for me, like, when I turn on the news, I become really overwhelmed because I hear about all these problems, but I don't hear about the resistance that's actively happening to stop the problems. And I think that's why it's so great that that students know that there are people out there who are actively working to do things, like Wildwood, for example, and that there are people working on projects, and the things that you do, you know, are meaningful, and there is a resistance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're there, you know, you need to hear about them to be encouraged. And even if, like, the stuff that you're doing is daily like choices, like what you're buying, you know, it does make a difference, and you are supporting those people, like, inadvertently, who are working on those big projects, who can be there to do that. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I definitely know. As a business student, I in one of my classes, a group did a presentation, and they did mention that now, like, people are catching on to sustainability, but now businesses are using sustainability as like an excuse or as a form of advertisement, you know? So to what extent do they really care about sustainability, or are they using it as like a form of marketing to attract more customers? And I definitely think that the existence of the Student Environment Center could, you know, help shape the way that students are thinking about it and help shape students who will later on go into society knowing, like, go into jobs and maybe knowing to make the right decision or knowing to influence others to make the right decision. So this sounds like an amazing initiative that everyone should know about and should get involved with. So on that note, how can students get involved with the Student Environment Center? Be it, like, do you recruit volunteers or do you hire executives? How can students get involved?
So we have meetings weekly throughout the semester. This semester, our meetings are Fridays from 3 till 4. You can contact us by email if you have an idea that you need funding for or support from either people or a group that you want to get your message out through social media even. You can contact us by email. Our email is enviro, so E-N-V-I-R-O, at ams.ubc.ca. You can contact us through there. You can come stop by. We have office hours often. And the biggest thing we want is members, people to come to our groups, give their voice. Every member that comes and votes on our funding proposals has the power to veto something that they don't agree with, you know. So we give a lot of power to our members and people within our group because everyone's voice matters. Everyone's ideas are, you know, they come from a place of wanting something better. So we have a safe space where people can voice their concerns in a respectful way. And yeah, feel free to stop by for meetings. We're in room 245 of the sub, so on the second floor in the corner. And yeah, we come by if you have an idea. Come by if you just want to see what's up. We'll be moving into the new sub, so hopefully our space will be a lot comfier then. But for now, we're stuck in room 245.
So if you want to drop by room 45 and say hello to these amazing students who are doing amazing things for our environment and the community, please feel free to drop by. Also, you can find them on Facebook, I believe.
Yep. We also have a Twitter. It's SecUBC, and the Facebook is also Student Environment Center UBC, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And we also have our own personal social media as well. Mine is at Blackberry Trees if you want to follow me. And I post YouTube videos and lots of sustainability tips on my Twitter and Instagram as well, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for coming. Definitely, I know that I've learned a lot about the Student Environment Center and know about the opportunities that they offer, and I'm definitely excited to check out their future events.
If you ever need funding, you know, just
if you guys need money, we'll be your pimp daddy.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. That sounds really amazing. Please, please, please reach out to the Student Environment Center. Even if you have an idea or if you're passionate about the environment, please reach out to them. I know they're a really good resource. And that concludes our show today. This was the Student Special Hour. I'm your host, UC. Coming up, we have Radio Freethinkers. But before we go, we're going to listen to Goodbye from Sound of Lions. Thank you.
Hi, we're Roused by Nature.
And you're listening to
CITR
101.9,
broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia.